Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading My Daughter's Dollhouse is Not a Toy by Orange PLR off Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode and every episode possible. Let's get started. Why don't you open that one next, sweetheart? That Christmas was lovely, one of the best in a while. In the recent years, my parents hadn't been able to drive up as often on account of the heavy snow. Heaviest in 30 years, their grandfather would say to me over the phone when I pleaded with him, and I could hear him comedically puffing his cigar and tilting back the armchair. There's no way we can make it there and back before next Christmas. But this year it finally let up and they made it. I couldn't have been happier. I leaned into my husband's side as my daughter shredded the wrapping paper encasing her huge final present with an enormous smile plastered across her face. A dollhouse! I couldn't help but gasp. It was huge. Pristine, complete with three stories. Little flower pots hanging from the windowsills. And even a little front yard. I reached out and ran my fingers across the plastic grass just to be sure. My daughter was beside herself. She had been begging for a dollhouse for months now, but I kept snubbing her, knowing what her grandparents were planning. "It's beautiful, Ma," I said. "It's so pretty." My daughter ran over to hug my mother, and then my father. They laughed and patted her on the head, telling her that they would do anything to make her happy. I couldn't stop staring at this beautiful dollhouse. "Where did you find this?" I gently tapped on the windows. If I hadn't known, I would have sworn they were made of real glass. "Found it online," my father grunted, leaning forward to unlatch the walls and open it up. The inside was even more beautiful than the outside. Even the art on the walls looked real. "From a nice family. It's funny, they never even accepted our payment. Just some real nice folks." A little doll family sat on the living room couch, gazing up at us with their blank smiles. "A happy family of four," my mother keened, clasping her hands in front of her chest. "Just like you." Right then, my son steered his new remote control car into the dollhouse, toppling it over. My daughter began to shout, and my husband squeezed my waist lovingly before jumping into action, trying to quell the conflict by bribing Christmas cookies. I looked at the dolls, now spilled from the couch to the floor, their faces still happy and simple. I reached out and carefully placed them back in their seats on the couch. I couldn't help it. The weeks after Christmas were a little bit hectic, as they tend to be. My days were full of packing decorations back into boxes and picking leftover bits of wrapping paper out of the carpet. I was happy to have my children home for winter break, even if they only added to the chaos. It got a bit lonely sometimes during the school year. With them gone and my husband at work most of the day, I dreaded when they would all be gone again, leaving me alone with an empty nest. I didn't know what I would do when they went off to college, but that was something I wasn't prepared to think about. It wasn't my dream to be a stay-at-home mother and wife until I met my husband. I wanted to be a full-time artist, but that isn't necessarily a career you go into with nothing to fall back on. Was it, and who was I to argue with my fate? Every night, after my family had eaten my dinner and all the dishes were taken care of, while my husband waited for me to come to bed, I checked on the children. It was my favorite time of day. I would gently crack open their doors and peek my head in, listening to their breathing for a few seconds and watching their blankets rise and fall. My daughter was 10 and my son was 12, so occasionally I could catch them staying up past their bedtime and, nobody tell my husband, but I would usually just pretend I didn't notice, especially in those few weeks. It was their break after all and they just wanted to play with their new toys. I would often hear scrambling behind their doors as I walked down the hall and opened the door to find them with the blankets pulled up over their faces, snoring theatrically to try and trick me. However, after a few nights of checking on my daughter and finding her dollhouse lights on, I began to feel worried. One morning, I decided to ask her about it. "Sylvie," I called, clicking the coffee pot back into place and reaching for the fridge. "Honey, have you been staying up late?" I heard her spoon clink into her bowl of cereal. "No." I splashed some cream into my mug. "Are you sure? You're not in trouble. I just noticed your dollhouse lights have been on, and they're never on when you go to bed." I heard her humph, and I turned around to see her crossing her arms, frowning down at her breakfast. "I'm not staying up, Mama. It's not me." "What do you mean it's not you?" "Kev is the one playing with my dollhouse, and he never asks permission ever. I know he's doing it. I opened my mouth to reply to ask what she meant by that, but before I could, my husband walked in. "Hello, girls," he said in his breathy, dreading work voice, and wrapped his arms around my waist. "Coffee?" I nodded, shrugging at the pot behind my back, my daughter's words still nagging at me. Soon after that day, the dreaded came to be. My kids had to go back to school, and I was once again left alone during the day. The first day of this, right when I was getting bored of reading my book and trying to think of what I was going to do to keep myself entertained, I heard something from upstairs. It was like something falling. I frowned and pushed myself off of the couch, wrapping my cardigan around myself to fight back the drafty cold. When I got upstairs, I wasn't quite sure where to look for the source of the sound. Even so, something drew me toward my daughter's bedroom at the end of the hall. I gently swung the door open, looking around. Nothing looked immediately awry. The room was the dimmest in the house besides the attic. Because the window was the smallest, letting in the least natural light during the day, the darkness drew my eyes right to her dollhouse, sitting innocently in the corner, the windows glowing with yellow light. I very carefully cracked the toy open, examining the inside. It took me a moment to find the doll family, but once I did, I smiled. The mother and father dolls were sitting on the couch downstairs, their faces trained ahead as if watching TV. The children were upstairs in one of the bedrooms. The girl was laying on the floor as if she'd toppled over, and the boy was standing above her. I mentally commended my daughter for how maturely she must have been playing with the dollhouse. Could that have been what I heard falling? Maybe the girl doll had been standing and had simply toppled over after a while. I carefully stood the doll back up, switched off the lights inside, and went back downstairs. And that night, after dinner, my husband plopped down on the couch and kicked up his feet. My children hadn't yet gotten rid of all their energy, so they were running around the house playing their own version of tag. "Sit with me," my husband said, grinning at me and patting the couch next to him. "You've been cooking all afternoon." I relented, taking a seat next to him. He pulled me close, giving me a kiss on the forehead and switching on the TV. Before I could relax, a scream rang through the house. My daughter's scream. My husband and I rushed upstairs. We found them in my son's room, my daughter on the floor, her knee bleeding, and my son standing above her guilty. "I'm sorry. We were just playing." My daughter's brown eyes were welled up with tears. "He pushed me." The strangest sense of deja vu washed over me. So powerful, I felt a bit dizzy. I reached out and helped my daughter up, examining her injury once she was standing. "Let's get a band-aid on that," I said gently, pushing back her hair. She nodded. Then, the power went out. After that night, for some reason, the energy in the house began to get worse. All of the winter break high had diminished, and we'd seemed to be all left with feeling a bit empty. The house felt lonelier when everyone was away, and when they were back, it wasn't very much better. The worst was my daughter. I noticed she hardly spoke at all anymore. She would come home with red, swollen eyes, throw her pink bag down on the couch and go to her room. She hardly left her room at all, unless it was for a meal or unless I made her come out. One day, I decided I was going to search her room. I know it didn't earn me any mom points, but please don't judge me too harshly. I was starting to feel incredibly worried. We had always been such a happy, close family, especially my daughter and I, and this change had been so abrupt and violent. I worried about the boys as well, of course, but I just wanted to know what was going on with her. While she was at school, I went through her room. I looked under the bed. I looked through all of her desk and dresser drawers. I even lifted up her carpet in some places. I didn't find anything at all. Not a diary or journal, not even a suspicious box. Finally, I ended up in front of the dollhouse. It was open this time and the lights were off, and I reluctantly peered inside, a sense of dread welling up inside of me. I didn't see any of the dolls at first. It didn't seem like any of them were even inside of the dollhouse. Maybe discarded somewhere else in her room, or maybe lost in Kev's room sitting in his remote control cars because he needed drivers to crash them into things. Maybe she was just bored of it now. But then, I saw one of them. It was the mother doll, long brown, glossy hair and colorful floral dress making her stand out. She was standing in one of the bedrooms. The girls, I assumed by the decor, in one of the corners. The doll was just standing there, facing the wall, the wallpaper pressed up against her plastic nose. I glanced over to the corner of my daughter's room. then back at the dollhouse, then back again, as if the doll was going to move when I wasn't looking. I slowly walked over to the corner, reaching out and brushing my fingers against my daughter's purple wallpaper. Right when I was beginning to feel incredibly stupid, I felt a ridge. I carefully pried my fingernails into the dent, pulling until I felt it give. There was a piece of the drywall missing, and I had never even known. Inside the cracked part of the wall was a notebook, and some other small things from around the house that I thought had disappeared. I found candy, missing jewelry, even silverware. I wondered how long she had been hoarding these things right under my nose. When I looked back at the dollhouse, nothing was different. I knew that nothing was different, but that didn't stop me from thinking that maybe the doll had moved anyways, just a little bit. But it didn't stop me from feeling like it was looking at me from the tiny model house. After that, I put the dollhouse in the attic. Something just felt terribly sinister about it. It made me feel sick knowing it was just up there in my daughter's room. Maybe it was selfish. I certainly began to think so when I saw how upset it made her when I told her. But it wasn't something I was willing to budge on. I planned on giving it away to some neighborhood kid, but eventually I started to forget about it. Things didn't change, anyways. I felt silly for thinking that maybe they might. I had been superstitious in the past, but it had never gotten this ridiculous. Things stayed the same. My children continued to be quiet and anxious creatures, and my husband stayed longer and longer at work. I spent my days wandering the house aimlessly, cleaning and tidying things and preparing meals. My purpose was draining right along with my connection to my family. I convinced myself it was just the school year, that it would get better by spring break. And I almost forgot about the dollhouse. I almost forgot until spring cleaning. I decided to get a head start, having not much else to do besides clean, and when I finally reached the attic with my duster and my bucket of soapy water, my heart sank. I felt like I could feel it getting eaten away by my stomach acid. There it was, the dollhouse. It sat peacefully beneath the window, between my husband's dusty shotgun and a stack of old books and clothes, the lights inside glowing out of the little plastic windows. I stared at it for what felt like an hour before I could get up the courage to walk over to it. The latch felt like it echoed endlessly, bouncing off the attic walls and into my ears. It was deafening. The dollhouse creaked like it had been waiting 1,000 years up there. I cracked it open like a ribcage. I was scared of what I would find inside, but I had to know. I knew exactly how I had left it. I had left the family on the couch, just like it had been when my parents had first gifted it to Sylvie, nice and neat. The dolls were not on the couch when I looked inside. The first thing I noticed was the children. The dolls were propped up in the hallway of the house, leaning slightly towards the bedroom door, as if they were listening for something. Their plastic hands were pushed together clumsily, as if they were holding them, and I could have sworn there were expressions on their faces that hadn't been there before, although I couldn't make out what they were. Inside of the bedroom, the woman was leaning against the door, her face in her hands and her brown hair frizzy as if she had run her hands through it many times. In the bed, the man was sitting up, and next to him there was a lump. I frowned so hard that I began to develop a headache. There was a lump, some kind of shape, next to him in the bed. I slowly reached out, intending to touch it, to pull back the tiny felt blankets. Something. Bang, bang, bang. I nearly leapt out of my skin at someone banging on the attic door, my hand flying to my heart. Honey, are you up there? I glanced at the dollhouse and then at the attic door, my eyes wide, feeling frazzled and disoriented. Yes, I called out shakily. Coming. I rushed downstairs, my hands trembling. When I reached the second floor, my husband looked at me strangely. Anna, are you feeling all right? I swallowed hard, looking him up and down and then at my children. They were scooping ice cream with plastic spoons out of little styrofoam cups. My husband seemed to notice my confused expression. He reached out and rubbed my arm briefly. After I picked them up, we went to get ice cream, he explained with a smile. I felt a strange ripple of fury run through me, almost knocking me off balance. I had to actively try not to glare at him. Who did he think he was, picking them up and taking them out to get ice cream, when my children would hardly look at me? Who did he think he was, stealing my children? I was a bit shocked by this mood swing, and I reached up to smooth out my hair with my shaking hands. Have any of you been up to the attic recently? I asked, trying to keep my voice even. My husband frowned. No, I don't believe so. Have you, kids? They both shook their heads, their lips pink from the ice cream. None of my family particularly liked the attic. It creeped them out, especially my daughter. I licked my lips nervously. The next few days were hell for me. I was thrown into a constant state of fight or flight, wondering if what I saw in the dollhouse was my reality. But I couldn't tell anyone about it. They would think I was sick. They would think I was completely insane. I wouldn't let anyone take me away from my family. But finally, I reached a breaking point. I told my husband I was going to stay with my parents for a few days, and I left without so much as a packed bag. It helped to get away, but I couldn't have stayed forever, and after the weekend, I drove the 4 hours it took to get home, feeling slightly more stable than before. That didn't take long to change. Even just walking up our front path, I knew something was wrong. Things felt tense. I couldn't explain it. I pushed open the front door and found my kids already waiting for me. "Hi, Mom." My son had a solemn look on his face. He smiled nervously up at me. When I went to push past him, he reached out to stop me. "Stay down here, please, Mom, just for right now." I felt like my heart had been tied into an ever-tightening knot. I looked down. My son was holding my daughter's hand. I walked past them, ignoring my older child's pleading, and I stormed upstairs. In our bedroom, I found my husband, and I found another woman in bed with him, most of her naked body concealed by our blankets, the blankets I had picked out for us. I began to cry. I cried so hard I couldn't even hear my husband's hasty explanation, his begging for my forgiveness, hiding my face in his hands. When the woman, whoever she was, slipped past me and through the doorway, I fought the urge to grab her and bash her head in. That night, I dragged the dollhouse down the stairs and slammed it down on the coffee table, right in front of the couch I slept on. I couldn't bear to be in our bedroom after what he had done. What he had done with my children, my babies, right downstairs. I choked down some bile, staring into the yellow windows aimlessly. I had to watch. I had to watch so I could know. I had to watch so nothing terrible happened to my family. Over the next few days, my husband tried desperately to get to me. He tried everything. He begged, he cried, he yelled. He even acted as if he was going to hit me a few times just to get my attention. But it never worked. Eventually, he gave up. Sometimes my kids would sit next to me, but mostly they avoided me. I think they were scared. I think I was scaring them. But I didn't care. I wouldn't leave the couch. I couldn't. Sometimes things would change, I noticed, the second I looked away. I would get back from the bathroom or wake up from another fitful night of sleep to see the dolls had moved a little bit around the house, that they were in their rooms or at the dinner table. But never the woman. Never my doll. That one stayed, glued to the couch, facing me with its blank, painted face. However, one day that was different. When I woke up at the crack of dawn, I jumped up to check the dollhouse, and I nearly threw up right on the carpet. The carpet that was now mildly stained with blood dripping from the glass table. The dollhouse was in disarray. In the living room lay the son, his plastic doll arm all but broken off, snapped in two places. It hung on by a tiny sliver. I could see the bone, also plastic, and red blood dripped from the wounds. Without thinking, I touched it with my fingers, bringing them to my nose. It smelled metallic. It smelled real. Manically, I picked up the doll, my son holding him in my trembling, blood-smeared palm. I desperately tried to fix it, pushing the arm back into place, but it only broke more beneath my touch. "Kev!" I shouted at the top of my lungs into the quiet house, my voice breaking. I stood up from the couch. I felt like the walls were pressing in on me, and I couldn't catch my breath. "Mom?" My son poked his head around the corner, gazing sleepily down the stairs at me. "Are you okay?" "Oh, thank God!" I stumbled towards him, climbing up the stairs on all fours. My knees felt too weak to climb them normally. When I got to him, I wrapped him in my arms, squeezing him until he whimpered. "Are you okay?" he asked again, his voice small. He was scared, I realized. I was terrifying him. I loosened my grip, just slightly, kissing his sweaty forehead. "Yes," I breathed. "I'm okay, honey. Mama's okay. I was just worried about you." He took a small step back, but I held onto his arms tightly. I didn't want to let him go. "Why, Mom?" I wiped the tears off of my face, clumsily. I hadn't even realized I was crying. "I'm worried something terrible might happen to you." His face crumpled in fear and he stared at me. "What? Oh, don't you worry about that. Don't worry, everything will be okay. You're safe. Just stay here. Just stay right here. I knew I was trembling, but I couldn't stop myself. Seeing his precious face unharmed was like a drug to me. I gripped his arm tighter and he squeaked in pain. Just stay with me, I said. And as the words left my mouth, he pulled his arm away from me. I reached out for him, and like it was in slow motion, he stumbled away from me. He stepped backwards, but there was nothing to step on. He was right on the edge of the stairs. I tried to grab him, but I couldn't. He was already falling. Today is the day he gets back from the hospital. I feel like I haven't slept in days. The guilt is eating me alive. My husband says he isn't, but I know he's keeping my daughter from me. I suspect he's sneaking her out of the back door when I'm not looking to take her to school. I just want to see them. I just want my family to come back to me. The guilt and the anger are eating me alive. It's eating me alive. Today is the day he gets back from the hospital, and today is the day the dollhouse was drenched in blood. All the dolls are sprawled out across the living room carpet, riddled with bullet holes, their guts spilling out on the floor and their plastic smiles obscured by gore and gray matter. All of the dolls but one. The mother stands in the middle of the bodies, holding a toy shotgun. It looks like something that might have come out of my son's room, but I don't know how it could have gotten here. I could swear I saw it crying. Today is the day I looked in the window of the dollhouse and saw myself having murdered my entire family, the family I love so dearly. And today is the day I looked out my own window and I smiled. I smiled a blank plastic smile and I looked and looked and looked. That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed this creepy one. If you did, let me know in the comments below and like the video so YouTube knows that this is maybe a story worth sharing to other people. If you'd like to support the channel and support me, I'd really appreciate it, but you can go to Patreon and there is such a thing. Links will be in the description for all of this fun stuff. So I just appreciate you being here and listening. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope I'll hear from you. And if you'd like to, come join our Discord. We are at 100 members at time of recording, so maybe in the future we'll look back and be like, wow, we were at 100 and the community has grown. But anyways, I just appreciate you for being here. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you in the next one.